This is TWiT.
This year, we had a face-to-face Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, once again. I wasn't there. Neither was anyone else from TWiT. But the show did go on, even though the attendance was a little bit less than it had been in non-pandemic years. One of the interesting things, though, was that in addition to all of the consumer stuff that you would expect, given the name, there was some enterprise-class technology at CES, including enterprise-class security. I want to talk a little bit about some of the security that we saw there, especially because the two, consumer and enterprise, security areas are coming closer as more and more employees continue to work from their homes. One of the things that we saw was in IoT security from a company called Tuya. Now, it came into a couple of applications like Razer's RGB lighting system, came up with a smart home standard. But we want to talk about the Tuya Cube. It's a deployment solution designed to let developers create their own private IoT platform. And this includes a built-in secure element for data encryption and decryption and physical security storage. Also offers built-in root of trust, secure communications process and firmware verification, and multiple logical and physical protection layers. What we're seeing here is that Tuya is going where regulators and consumers, both individual and corporate, have been telling the IoT vendors they wanted to go for a while, which is a platform that is inherently somewhat more secure than the unpatchable, unchangeable platforms that have been deployed for so many years when it comes to IoT. Now, there's another company called Hummingbird's AI. It wants to eliminate the kind of data leaks that come from people snooping over laptop users' shoulders. Now, have you ever looked over the shoulder of another laptop user to see what was on their screen? I'll plead guilty. If nothing else, when you're walking up and down the aisles of a plane on the way to do, well, whatever it is you have to do at the back of the airplane, when you return to your seat, you're going to look over the shoulders of the people sitting in the aisle seats, and you're going to see what's going on their laptop screen, whether that is a game of solitaire or confidential company information. Hummingbird's has come up with what it calls Guacamole ID software, which is a continuous video-based identity verifications platform. Think about the kind of facial recognition that some of the smartphone companies are using to get you into the platform, but going on all the time to verify that the person whose face is visible from the laptop's webcam is the person who should be looking at the screen. Now, there are lots of ways to customize this, but I think it's fascinating to look at this as not only a biometric factor for authentication, but a continuous authentication. You know, we've always thought of user authentication as a moment in time, something that you do during boot, during logon. This is moving user verification to something that's a little bit closer to the zero trust model, where the user is being verified on a constant basis. Finally, I want to talk a little bit about Pluton. Microsoft's Pluton is a dedicated security chip. You know, in one of my blips, I talked about TPM, the Trusted Platform Module, that's nearly a decade old. Well, Microsoft engineers have noted that this is nearly a decade old. And believe me, threat actors have noted that it's a decade old as well. Pluton is intended to replace the TPM by storing and creating cryptographic keys, which are then applied against the OS and firmware to make sure that they haven't been tampered with. Pluton's designed to, well, minimize an attack surface that exists between TPM and the firmware and the operating system, because there are cracks in the boot sequence that can allow an attacker to get in. I want to bring my co-host in. Brian, we've talked about these three things: IoT, continuous user authentication, and a replacement for TPM. Is there one of these that you think has a chance to make a bigger impact than the others?
Well, I personally think that the Achilles heel of IoT in general is that they're trying to use, previously they've been trying to use as inexpensive a platform as possible. So Linux became a very big deal. Well, the problem is Linux was built and designed in a kinder, gentler world. And there's a definite need for a dramatically more secure platform. So I think hopefully any IoT platform that actually builds security in right at the very beginning, I think is going to have a huge, huge impact. Now, how big an impact, I think, is going to really depend on, unfortunately, the price. There's a lot of IoT devices out there that are based on Linux because they don't have to pay royalties. Sadly, they're using old distributions that have inherent problems in them. So I'm hoping someday those two kind of converge so that we can have a more secure platform. Will TPM or a TPM replacement make a big deal? It all depends on the toolkits. And we'll see if the APIs and the toolkits, in order to utilize the secure boot process of TPM or TPM-like devices, is hard to use, it's just going to sit on the shelf. I think education is going to be a big one, and I think I'm looking forward to it, because realistically, I do quite a decent amount of IoT devices, and I'd like to be able to design in security right from the get-go.
No, I think designing in security is far better than applying security after the fact. And I agree with you. Pluton has potential, but it's going to depend on companies deploying it on the chips and the motherboards. Right now, the only response that Microsoft is showing is from AMD, and that has to be seen as somewhat lukewarm. AMD has not gone full into Pluton. So far, it's been nothing but silence from Intel. And you and I both know that if Intel doesn't embrace something at the processor and system level, it's going to be a niche player at best. You know, to me, one of the more profound possibilities out of these is the possibility of continuous authentication. You know, one of the things that we've tried for years to convince people to do is log off when they leave a system. This is especially important in applications like medical offices and hospitals, where a doctor or a healthcare professional will come in, log into one of the systems in an exam room, make notes, pull up customer record or pull up patient records, all that sort of stuff, and then often be called away on a very quick basis and not fully shut down their session before they leave. That leaves some sensitive information quite visible. But with this sort of continuous authentication, even if someone came into a live session, the webcam would note that the face in front of the system was not the authorized user and would make sure that it was shut down. I think that that is a very cool thing. And to be brutally honest, I think it's only a matter of time before we see other factors brought in, some behavioral factors, and things like that to authenticate the user.
I want to toss in something.
Sure.
I had a chance to work with the Xerox PARC folks. And one of the technologies I saw, this was actually back in the 70s, for goodness sakes, they had pendants that would be riding along with their ID badges. And when one of the researchers would walk into their office, it would automatically shift their telephone calls into their office telephone set. It would automatically log them in or actually take their Xerox Star workstation out of sleep mode or so forth. And that was really, really cool. And basically, it was short range RF. And they had little sensors that were in the drop ceiling. So as you moved around, so if I was, say, in someone else's office and a call came in for me, instead of ringing the phone in my office, it would actually, over the speaker, you know, the announcement speaker in the office I was in, go, "Mr. Chi, there's an incoming call. Would you like to take it?" And I would tap the pendant and would automatically route the call to the nearest handset. That was great. And it was yet another idea from Xerox PARC that didn't go anywhere, or maybe we should say it was way ahead of its time. So I think the technology is there. I think the intellectual property is there. I think it just needs to be used, whether it is facial recognition or whether it's short range RF. I agree. Some sort of continuous authentication is something we really and truly need. And I think it's time for people to start looking at those patents in their collection and say, let's go and dust it off and do some new products.
You know, it's fascinating that you mentioned that, because it brings up something that we heard a lot about for a while, and that is the idea of presence, which is, as you point out, the system knowing where you are within an office building. And the idea, especially if your company is doing things like hoteling, where people don't have a permanent desk but are assigned a desk with each day that they come in, being able to have your phone calls, your designated virtual workstation brought there to your desk is critical. Now, the pandemic and everyone being hoteled at their home has quieted down a lot of that talk, but we're starting to see companies go back into the office, at least to a certain extent. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens with this idea of presence as we get to this hybrid work environment, where in many cases, an employee might work from home 3 days a week, go into the office 2 days a week. Is there a way for the system to recognize that they're at the office and follow them to a desktop without the user having to do anything about it? You know, if it can do that and do it securely, then I think it's made a great step forward. And it seems like we're getting close to this. I strongly suspect that what this involves is some very tight ties in with Active Directory and the other directory systems, so that all of the user context is brought to a particular location with them, regardless of where they are.